I invite you to open your Bibles this evening to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." If you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Here's my illustration from the events surrounding Ryan and Madeline's wedding. The rehearsal dinner was at the 360-degree grill. Now, that doesn't give you the temperature of the grill on which the food was cooked, 360 degrees. Rather, it is a restaurant associated with the Marriott Hotel in Florence, Alabama, just north, in fact, just a few feet, maybe 100 feet from the Tennessee River. And this restaurant is up in the air in a tower, and I don't know how many feet, but it's high enough where the elevator ride took a little while, and 360 degrees refers to the fact that this restaurant rotates 360 degrees, the outer edge of this building atop this tower. And so I love to see views like this, so I go up to the edge. I don't think Patrice wanted to go up to the edge to see this perspective. But it was beautiful. It was about 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and you could see the Tennessee River. And as the sun went down, you could see the lights of Florence and Muscle Shoals and the cities in that area. But a beautiful perspective, and that's the word for tonight. If you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. And the Apostle Paul is telling us that as Christians, we should have a different perspective. And I want to underscore things concerning our perspective as Christians in the first four verses of Colossians 3. Perspective is defined as one's mental view of facts, ideas, and their interrelationships. When we become Christians, our perspective changes. I love the story that I read a while back about a sickly widow who had two sons. One of her sons sold umbrellas for a living. This goes back a few years. And so every morning she would get up and look outside. And if it was cloudy and it threatened rain, she would be very happy because that meant her son would be able to sell some umbrellas. But if it was sunshine outside, she would be very sad because her son wouldn't be able to sell any umbrellas. So depending on what she found when she looked out her window every morning, that depended on that set the mood for her for that day. Interestingly, this same widow had another son who sold fans. And so she'd get up every morning, and if it was sunny outside, she'd be happy because her son could sell some fans. But if it were cloudy, then she'd be unhappy because it would be cooler and the fans wouldn't be needed. And so she was in a turmoil every morning when she woke up as to what kind of mood she was going to be in depending upon the weather that day. And she was commiserating with a friend one day, and the friend just pointed out to her, "Listen, you've got it made. If the sun is shining, people will buy fans. If it's rainy, then your other son will sell umbrellas. All you have to do is change your attitude. You can't lose." And with that simple thought, the widow lived happily ever after. It all had to do with her perspective. If you've been raised with Christ, as a Christian, your perspective should change. How so? Well, notice Colossians 3, verse 1 again. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." Let me suggest some ways that our perspective changes when we are raised with Christ, when we become Christians. Number one, seeking things above will determine where you find your identity. It'll determine where you find your identity. Again, if you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Look down with me to verse 3 of Colossians 3. For you died, he says to Christians, you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Notice, you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And also, Christ, who is our life, when he appears, you will appear with him in glory. Those statements in verses 3 and 4 indicate to us where we're to find our identity. And there's really basically three places where we can find our identity. We can look within ourselves, maybe our looks, our abilities, our talents. But time has a way of changing looks. Time has a way of affecting our abilities. And those things, if we're basing our identity within ourselves, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. How long can we continue to tell ourselves, so I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm important, I'm valuable to society? It won't last. Jesus said it this way, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He's saying that's not where you find your identity, within yourself. Well, the second alternative is that we can find our identity among other people, in relationship with other people. But when we do that, that can be dangerous as well. Because people, our relationships with other people can change. Our relationships with people can be ended by death. Friendships can end. And so if we're finding our relationship or our identity in some relationship with other people, that's also setting it on ground that's not solid. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12, we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So this idea of comparing ourselves with others, Paul says, that's not wise. And it's not wise to base our identity upon relationships with other people. But the third alternative, and what God would have us do, is find our identity in Jesus. You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And Christ is your life, he says. Christ is our life. And he's speaking about Christians. It reminds us of Paul's statement in Galatians 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He also said, and we'll refer to this again, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We find our identity, who we are, and what shapes our lives in Jesus. Not upon our own talents and abilities, etc. Not in our relationships with other people. But our identity, if we're raised with Christ, is to be found in our relationship with him. Because that's something, if we remain faithful to him, won't change. It's who we are. We're not to be defined by our occupation. We're not to be identified by whose family we're a part of. As Christians, the most important identification is that we're in Christ, that we're Christians. So if we're raised with Christ, when we become Christians, it determines our identity. Paul also wrote by inspiration, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which belongs to God. And he reminds us again, we've been bought at a price. We're not our own. We belong to him. And so that's where we find our identity. How else should our perspective change when we become Christians? Secondly, seeking things above will determine where we invest our effort. Again, Colossians 3, verse 1. If you were raised with Christ, Seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Seek those things which are above. Not the things of this earth. Seek those things which are above. And it's an active term here. Seek. Search out. Be mindful of. Invest your effort in those things which are above and not on the things of the earth. I like to think of it this way. Suppose you're going to build your dream home. And while that's being built, you rent a small, cheap apartment because you're wanting to save up your money for your dream home. Now, while you're living in that small, cheap, one-room apartment, do you spend a lot of money fixing up that apartment? Do you Do you spend a lot of time painting it and fixing it up? Do you fill it with those priceless antiques? Do you hire out a decorator to decorate that one-room apartment? I hope the answer to that is no. Because your focus is on that dream home and investing your funds and your energy in building that dream home. Same truth regarding where we seek things, where we invest our effort. We live in a temporary world. The world is passing away and the lust of it. He who does the will of God abides forever. But we live in a temporary world. It's like that one-room apartment. We don't invest all of our resources in this one-room apartment because we're seeking things above in our eternal home. So our perspective changes. There's a second world which will last forever, and that's where we invest our effort. And it emphasizes the value of the spiritual over the physical, of the eternal over the temporary. I like what Tom Holland wrote. With this mindset, seeking things above, material things are instruments to be used, not gods to be worshipped. Because many times we get it confused. We're more interested, or we get our focus on the things of this world to the neglect of the spiritual and eternal. But Paul is saying if we're raised with Christ, our perspective changes and we're focusing more on things above than on things of the earth. Thirdly, seeking things above determines how we direct our minds. Look at verse 2 with me, Colossians 3. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. What do you think about? Where is your mind directed the majority of the time? Set your mind on things above. I haven't asked science teachers or those who study frogs about this, but I want to share with you some insight of something we might can learn from frogs. One writer says, as a young boy, one of my favorite pastimes was hunting frogs along the banks of a pond near our home. While stalking those green leapers, I was unaware of their unique visual powers, which enabled them to elude me so easily. Later, I learned that the frog's optical field of perception is like a blackboard wiped clean or a whiteboard wiped clean. And that the only images it receives are objects that directly concern the frog, such as his natural enemies or the food that he needs for survival. In other words, he's saying that that frog, with its vision, only focuses on those things that concern him. Something that's going to eat him or something that he might eat. And then this writer makes an application. Although such restricted eyesight would result in unimaginable handicap to us, a spiritual lesson can be learned from the frog's blackboard or whiteboard. In the Christian life, we frequently become preoccupied with the vain things of the world. We allow our lives to become so cluttered with materialistic and insignificant concerns that we lose perspective of the things which endure. But if we're raised with Christ, Paul says our perspective changes as far as those things that we set our minds on. We set our minds on things which are above. Those are the top priority. Psalm 119 verse 37 says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." It's a wonderful prayer for us to pray. God, help me turn my eyes away from those things that are worthless. Help me to focus on those things that are right, that are according to your will, that are spiritual, that are eternal. This Colossians 3 and verse 2, "Set your mind on things above." A literal translation of this verse may read as follows: habitually set your mind, your attention, on things above, not on things of the earth. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, wrote, "Our feet must be on earth, but our minds must be in heaven." But then he issues this statement: "This is not to suggest that we become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. It means that the practical, everyday affairs of life get their direction from Christ in heaven. It means further that we look at earth from heaven's point of view." Folks, when we become Christians, again, our perspective, the things we think about, the way we look at things changes. When we're raised with Christ, the way we look at people changes. We see them as people created in the image of God. We see all people as people that are in need of a Savior. We look at our circumstances differently. When we're going through difficult times, we realize, yes, they're difficult, they're hard to endure, but they're temporary in view of that eternal home that awaits the faithful child of God. Our perspective changes when we're raised with Christ. Another way it changes is that seeking things above will determine from where you draw your power and where you find your purpose. Notice the statement again in verse 3. "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." You died. There were two sisters who, when they were younger, enjoyed attending wild parties. But they came to an understanding of the gospel message. They were converted to Christ. They were raised with Christ. But they, not long after that, received an invitation to one of those parties that they knew was going to be one of those wild parties. And it contained an RSVP, and they replied. And they wrote this: "We regret that we cannot attend because we recently died." That's a new perspective. You died. You died. And it refers to our relationship to the world, to sin, and to self. That's why in Colossians 3 and verse 5, Paul, based upon what he had stated, written in the first four verses, says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Therefore, since you died, and your life was hidden with Christ in God, therefore, because Christ is our life, there are some things that we are dead to, that we died to the ways of sin. We died to self. We're alive to God. Romans 6:11, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And notice that statement again in verse 3. "Your life is hidden with Christ in God." The goal or the objective of the Christian life is to live Christ. Again, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Someone has said that life is what you are alive to. Life is what you are alive to. You think about a little child. What is it that a little toddler is alive to? It may be a certain toy that you say, you want to play with this toy? And their eyes light up and they're eager to do that. It may be ice cream. That may go through all ages. But it's life is what you're alive to. For a teenager, it may come to the mention of cars or dates or whatever it may be. Paul wrote, "For to me to live is Christ." What was Paul alive to? And it was to Christ, to doing his will. And so it should be for every child of God. But one final thing. As our perspective changes when we're raised with Christ, it determines where we place our hope. Where we place our hope. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul is changing our perspective. He's saying we're so often tempted to look at the here and now, what's going on right now, and the troubles that we have right now. And he says, look ahead to when Christ appears. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Someone said, if you look around in this world, all you really see is kindling. And it's based upon this teaching, 2 Peter 3, verse 10, that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Everything around us is kindling. It's temporary. It'll be destroyed when Jesus comes again. Well, what if we've been placing our hope in the things of this world? Then that hope will have been placed in vain. Paul says, don't put your hope in things of this world. You place your hope in seeing Jesus when he returns. Those who have lived for Christ will appear with him in glory. We were in the Shoals area. So when we think of the Shoals area, we think of Tuscumbia. And that's where, that's the birthplace of Helen Keller. I'd like to study more about her life. Amazing things that she accomplished with the help of Annie Sullivan. But I think about another blind lady. Fanny Crosby is her name. If you thumb through our songbook, you'd find her name as the author, the writer of some of our songs. She wrote more than 8,000 gospel hymns. And it seems that though she wrote on a variety of subjects, her favorite were themes of heaven and the Lord's return. And I think about her inability to see and how that translated into her focus of heaven and the Lord's return. Early in life, Fanny Crosby showed an unusual poetic talent. At age 8, she wrote this poem. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. That's quite a perspective, isn't it? There was once a well-intentioned preacher that remarked to her, I think it's a great pity, Fanny, that the Master, when he showered so many gifts upon you, did not give you sight. Her response was quick. She said, do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition to my Creator, it would have been that I should be born blind? Why? Asked the shocked preacher. She responded, because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of the Savior. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when Christ is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. There's another song in our songbook written by Charles Gabriel, "When All Our Labors and Trials Are O'er," that contains these words. When by the gift of his infinite grace I'm accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face, will through the ages be glory for me. When we're raised with Christ, our perspective changes and determines where we place our hope. Our hope is not on earth. Our hope is in Jesus. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, when are we raised with Christ? If we go back a few verses, it's abundantly clear. Colossians 2, verse 12. We are buried with him in baptism, in which also you were raised with him, Paul writes to these Christians. You were raised with Christ through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. When are we raised with Christ? When we're baptized into Christ and have our sins washed away, and we're raised from the watery grave of baptism. We're raised with Christ in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4. And when we're raised with Christ in newness of life, we have a new perspective. We're to seek those things which are above. We're to see people differently. We're to see circumstances differently. We're to see this world differently. Our whole perspective changes when we're raised with Christ. Jesus said it like this: do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Tom Holland wrote, "Those who go to heaven must send their hearts on ahead." That's the new perspective. Where's your heart? Where's your heart tonight? Perhaps as we study the scriptures, you desire to have that new perspective that comes with becoming a child of God. You can be raised with Christ even tonight, if you'll surrender in obedience to the gospel, to be baptized into Christ as a penitent believer, and be raised to walk in newness of life, raised with that new perspective that we're to have. It's a perspective that we must seek to keep, however. These are instructions that Paul is giving to us. We need to consciously seek those things which are above. We're to consciously set our mind on things above. We're to consciously set our hope on those things that are eternal, that are associated with Christ. Because he knew that we have trouble with our perspective. We tend to take our eyes off of the proper goal. We tend to take our eyes off of Jesus. And that leads us astray. And perhaps we need to come back home. Perhaps we need the prayers of the church to help us renew that proper perspective. If that be the case, if you need to respond, please come right now as we stand and sing.